Now, if you want to find out more about the long history of Czechs and Slovaks in the United States, the place to start is the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. The museum was devastated by floods in 2008, and some 6,000 flood-damaged volumes from the library are still being painstakingly restored. But the pace of recovery has been remarkably fast, and within the next couple of years, an ambitious project to rebuild and expand the museum should be complete. With it, the library will also be up and running once again. In Czech Books this week, David Vaughn finds out more about the library's rich collections.
The director of the museum in Cedar Rapids, Gail Norton, was in Prague at the beginning of September for a conference that brought together over 100 representatives of Czech emigre communities from across the world. She gave a vividly illustrated talk on the work being done to recover from the floods. Afterwards, I took the opportunity to ask her about the library and its history. To start with, I was intrigued to know how the foremost institution devoted to Czech and Slovak history and culture in the United States came to be in Cedar Rapids.
Lots of people ask that question. I think, to go back a little, when the Czechs emigrated to the United States, they particularly came to the middle of the country. And up and down Illinois, of course, and Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, all up and down into Texas. And when some people got together in Cedar Rapids to form a museum, it was just the right place. It was right in the center of all this.
And when was that?
Well, it was in the 1970s. And the National Museum came into being in the 1990s. And always, from the very first day in the 1970s, there was always a museum and a library.
And so tell me a little bit about the kind of books or other documents that you have collected in the library.
Well, at first, it was a lot of books that were in the Czech language, some in the Slovak language, that people had brought with them that, of course, were being used less and less. The family didn't want to keep them. And that formed a core. But since that time, we have expanded a lot more and have a lot more personal papers, archival materials, photographs, maps, and periodicals from as many Czech and Slovak organizations in the United States as we can reach.
And how far back did these books and other documents and periodicals go?
I would say mostly from the 1800s through the 1900s. We have tried to focus on some key volumes today, but we focus mostly on historical reference material, family histories, histories of states and counties, and those kinds of things that are worthwhile for the future.
And can you give me some examples of the kind of material that you have that is particularly interesting?
Well, one example I can give you is we have a set of letters written by a man named Jan Pospisil. And this set of letters was written while he was on the battlefield fighting in the Civil War of the United States. He had been a new immigrant and had decided that this country was so worth sacrificing for that he went to war and wrote home in Czech, you know, to his family, giving the story of what it was like for a new American to fight in that Civil War. Really very interesting topic.
It must be quite moving as well, I should imagine.
Yes, although it's surprising sometimes when people write these things that they're very day-to-day, you know. But even that tells us a story.
And so your collection really must map very vividly the life of the early settlers who came to Mid-America from Bohemia, Moravia, Slovakia.
Yes, it does, but we are constantly still collecting these kinds of things. Families come to us from all over with family papers, family travel documents, correspondence. We try to collect, as I mentioned, organizational periodicals, newsletters, because those are fascinating, the things that people were doing, and from their social life to their more political life. In more recent years, we have a collection from the Czechoslovak National Council of America, which was an organization formed in 1918 that dissolved in about 2005. And in those early years of that organization, their purpose was to fight for the freedom of their homeland, and there were many fascinating things that they did. So it is not a cohesive story, but many pieces of a story from a lot of different voices, a lot of different angles.
In the course of the 20th century, I should imagine, the position of people of Czech and Slovak origin in the United States in relation to their homeland must have changed so dramatically as different regimes came and went. First, there was the First Republic, the democratic Czechoslovak state between the wars, then the Nazi occupation, then the 40 years of communist rule, and now, of course, the reopening of Czech society. This must be a very complicated, and I should imagine sometimes even quite difficult, relationship.
Well, it is, and we see all sorts of reactions. We have people who tell us when their family came, they might have been children or something, and that their parents wanted them to speak English, they wanted them to be American, and there's a whole generation in there that can't speak Czech. It has kind of skipped them because the family was so adamant that they needed to be American. And now we find them coming back and saying, I wish I knew the language better, and they learn the language. But then on the other hand, there are families who have stayed very closely in touch with their relatives and have continued to go back and forth through the years, not just after communism, but even during. So I suppose it goes back to the reason they came in the first place. You know, was it from some travail, some personal history with the government or something where they really wanted to get out of from under it? Or were there other reasons where they still stayed very close to home?
And what kind of people use your library and also visit the museum?
Well, it's a mix. There are people who, of course, are Czech and Slovak descent who want to come. They enjoy it. They tell us all the things we need to do, get right, and so forth. And then there are more serious researchers, and we have had people use the library for their research and will continue to do that. We have some general public who really are not Czech or Slovak. They're history aficionados, or they're just interested in history and culture, and they'll come for a temporary exhibition and then go through the more, you know, historical exhibition. So it's a wide range of people, really.
And is part of your task also to try and keep the Czech and Slovak cultural traditions alive?
It is, and we watch how many of the people who came in those early years came from the smaller villages, and they brought all of that culture with them. And I think even took that opportunity to celebrate the culture here that they were having a little more trouble at home doing. And so, yes, we do, but it becomes Americanized as well over the years, and we recognize that. So we also try to have authentic cultural activities from the Czech and Slovak republics and bring it over just as part of a process for people to learn how rich their culture is.
And has your work changed since the split of Czechoslovakia?
Not really. It was interesting, though, the timing of that was at the time this museum was changing, transforming from a more of a local museum to a national museum. And there was a very specific decision made that it would be Czech and Slovak. Before that, it had been Czechoslovak. Mm. And because it's really almost impossible to tell the story, the historical story of one without the other. They're so entwined through history under various regimes, and, you know, the language, while it's not the same, is closely related. So that was a very conscious decision in the 90s.
And, of course, there are other elements as well. There's also the Jewish history of Czechoslovakia, the people who, living in America, who were from German-speaking Bohemian families or Moravian families or Hungarian-speaking in Slovakia. That must be a slightly more complex legacy to deal with.
Well, it is. We have some correspondence among families that is in all three languages, just different members of the family and so forth. And we, I'll have to say, to this date, have not delved into those issues very deeply. But it is a very interesting history that really says a lot about the history of Europe and the history of the 20th century in particular, that we think there are many lessons to be learned for everyone from that experience.
I've noticed that the museum has a wonderful website, which is www.ncsml.org. This presumably, if people are interested in doing research into the history of Czechs and Slovaks in America, this is a good place to start, I should imagine.
Well, it is, although I would have to give the caveat at this point in time, because we went through a disaster in 2008. Our museum was flooded, and that included the library. We had removed many items before the flood, but not all. There wasn't time. And so we are in the process of recovery now. And so our library, we do not have a public face of the library at this point. Our director of the library fields questions and inquiries via email, and his mail address can be found on our website. We had an online catalog of over 10,000 items, but that catalog is not active at this point in time. So we have some work ahead of us to get back to full-fledged library work here in the future.
And so when do you think you will be really back up and running as, well, business as usual?
Well, in the long haul, it will be years. This was a very devastating hit for us. In the short term, though, we were building a new museum and library now. It will be opening in 2012, probably in mid-2012. And the library will have a public face then. We will be open, and more of our materials will be organized at that point. So we hope to get the online catalog back working.
Gail Norton, president of the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Best of luck with the future. Let's hope that the waters won't rise again in the next few years. And thank you very much indeed for talking to us at Radio Prague.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your interest, and we'll try to keep you updated.